verses 1 to 17 on page 901. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you so that you will love one another. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks so much, Ned. Let me add my welcome. If you don't know me, I'm Kenny. I'm the minister here, and it is great to have you with us. A couple of things. Oh, I've just got loud. A couple of things as we get going. Firstly, I know it's been mentioned already, but it's a delight to see Ben, Sheila, Elliot, and Ezra with us. And it's his. I know it's Ezra's first Sunday because he was born less than a week ago. Should we give Ezra a big round of applause and welcome? It is a delight to see you, and you continue to be in our prayers over these coming weeks and months ahead. The other thing to say is, today is a little bit different. This, if you like, is a foretaste of what we'll be thinking about come the autumn and into the spring next term. And it is great to have the kids with us in the service as well. So we'll do this in two parts, and I am going to need your help at various points, children, as we get going to think about John 15 and what it tells us about Jesus. So let me pray for us. Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for these your words. As we look at them now, as we think about them, Father, I pray they would be shaping all of our hearts, from the youngest to the oldest. Amen. Amen. Right, I need your help, kids. Sorry, Emma. You'll see why. Don't ruin it. Right, kids, take a listen. Now, as you look at this plant, which I will try not to drop, there is one part that looks a little bit different to all the others. Can anyone put their hand up if they can see the bit that looks a little bit different? Oh, do you want to come up and show me which bit looks a bit different? Are you feeling brave? Which bit looks a little bit different? Which looks different? You think it's dying? Do you think? Give it a pull. See what happens. What have you done to my tree? To my plant? You've ruined it. It's dead. Why is it died? It's been cut off. Yeah. Louise faithfully watered your plants, and then there was vandalism happened. Go on, thank you. Yes, Dad, it's come off, look. It's come off. It's not as leafy as all the others. It's not growing as well. It looks a bit dead because it has been cut off. Let me put this down before I do drop it. Oh, no. Yeah, someone might have cut it in the week. You see, the difference, though, between this branch that's dying and all these ones here isn't really to do with the branch at all, is it? This one will never grow anymore or grow anything or be fruitful. Not because in and of itself it's any different, but because it's no longer attached to the plant. It has been cut off. It's not about the branch. It's about what it is joined to. All right, we'll leave that there as a visual illustration. You know, if you ask people what they want in life, you'll get all sorts of answers. But two things often come up, I think, when I talk to people. One, joy. People want joy in life. Not just happiness for a few minutes, but deep down joy. The other thing people often want is fruitfulness. They want their lives to matter. They want to achieve something. Even when you're younger, you start thinking, don't you? What job will I do? What will I do when I'm older? What difference might I make in the world? We want to be fruitful. But there are, aren't there? We all know them. Seasons of life where either joy or fruitfulness seem to be missing. And when that happens, there is a couple of things people often try and do. The first thing people try and do is just try harder. You know, things aren't right. Life isn't good. So I will be a better Christian. Or I will be a better friend. Or I will be a better parent. I'll study harder at school. I'll do more. But does it ever really work? Or the other thing we sometimes do if we get to an extreme is try and rewrite the whole script of our life. You know, I'll throw everything I've believed out and I'll join myself to something new, some new group, some new religion, some new way of thinking, and I'll rewrite my life. You know, it doesn't work though, does it? Because this branch, I'm sure, was trying really hard to grow when it was on the windowsill upstairs all week, not connected to the plant. But look where it got it. Jesus tells us that the answer isn't in the branch at all. If you've got your Bible still in front of you, just cast your eyes to the start of our passage. Notice what Jesus says. Jesus does not say, I'm like a vine. What Jesus actually says is, I am the true vine. I am the true vine. And that word vine is doing a lot of work. Because if you want good grapes, what do you need? You need a really good vine. For the children, if you don't know what a vine is where you grow grapes. It grows out of the ground and it has all these branches that hang off it in long rows like this. And the grapes, they grow on the end. When we were in France last year, you drive through the vineyards and you see all these vines with their grapes on them. And the owners, they are fiercely protective of their vines. Many of those vines have been in the families for generations and they grow good grapes. Because what grapes you get off your vine depends on what vine you have. If you have a good vine, you get good grapes. If you have a bad vine, you get bad grapes. You know, in the Bible, Jesus isn't the first vine. God had a vine before Israel, God's people in the Old Testament. God in Psalm 80 said that he planted them like a vine. He tended and cared for them. He watered them like you water your plants. But Psalm 80 says it grew wild, sour grapes, bad fruit. Because Israel's problem was that they always looked for true life and meaning and purpose and security in places other than God. They always unplug themselves from God and join themselves to the wrong thing. So when Jesus, in our passage, says that he is the true vine, it's God saying, I had a vine, and it kept looking for life in other places. But here in Jesus is the one that you were all meant to be joined to. What do we see? Well, we see a branch. We bear fruit by staying joined. Verse 4, abide or remain, stay in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. I am the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You know, in the vine, in a plant like this, the life comes from the what's called sap that runs from the roots through the stalk and into the branches and into the leaves. A joined branch in a fruit plant, in a vine, will grow fruit just as a matter of course, because everything it needs to live and to grow comes from the vine it is connected to. A cut-off branch, however hard it tries, however hard it works, however much it might want to bear fruit, will never do so. And notice that for Jesus, this abiding, this remaining, this staying joined to him is mutual. He says, abide, remain in me, and I in you. It's not us just having to hold on to Jesus by our fingernails, but actually he holds on to us too. And it's abide in Jesus specifically. Not stay connected to something. Not stay connected to a vague spirituality or a kind of historic Christian faith or our own effort or something else we can find to plug into, but stay connected to Jesus. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Should be a relief to us. Because there's a reason all the other ways of chasing joy and purpose keep failing. It's because we were never meant to generate fruit ourselves and by our own efforts, but only from being connected to Jesus. And you know, in all of this, God is at work. Verse 2, every branch that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Kids, do you know what pruning is? Do any of the children know what pruning is? A gardening test. Oh, Isaac, go on. What's pruning? Cutting, very good. Pruning is cutting. Can you do some scissors for me, kids? Do some scissors. Let's do some cutting. Imagine you're going to cut a plant. Pruning is when you cut a plant. Now, I want you to imagine you are a plant. Can you do that for me? Can you imagine you're a plant? Yeah, you can sit like this. Imagine you're a plant. Some of the adults getting involved. This is excellent. How do you think it would feel to be pruned if I came along with my pair of scissors and went chop, chop, chop? How would it feel? Ouch! I mean, your parents probably tell you to be very careful with scissors all the time and not to cut your siblings. You know, it's painful. It sounds painful to be pruned, but God says that is what he does to the branches that are connected. Why does he do that to us sometimes? Well, Jen and I, when we moved into our new house on Victoria Road, Tanya had been an avid gardener, and the garden is beautifully full of roses. We're not used to a garden. And our neighbour, she came up to the fence and popped her head over the fence, as neighbours do sometimes, kind of peering at the garden. She said to Jen, you do know you have to deadhead the roses. Jen was like, yes, I do. Because it turns out, though, that you have to cut the rose that's dying off, and then new ones spring up. Who'd have known? Who'd have known? It turns out you cut bits off plants to make them grow, obviously. But that pruning, it's meant to hurt. Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes it's difficult, but you know, it brings more fruit later. It is for the long-term good. And so that means for us, if this year in some ways has been hard for you, if you're tired and worn out, if it feels like God has been pruning you, that is not a sign that God has abandoned you. It is not necessarily a sign that you have done anything wrong. It may be the opposite. It may be a season where God, the gardener, is at work in your life to bear fruit later. All morning I've been telling you that it's not the branch, it's what it's joined to. But there is an obvious question, because we all start like this. We all start a bit like this. We all start life as dead branches. And so how does a dead branch ever get joined to a living vine? You know, if you are cut off from Jesus, if you don't know him, if you're cut off from God, how do you ever get joined back onto the vine? Well, the answer for the branch, sadly, is that it can't. That's the whole trouble. The branch has no life in it to join itself to the vine. It can't kind of climb up the pot and stick itself back on and hope for the best. What has to happen is somebody has to take a little knife and they get the living bit of the plant and they make a little cut in the plant and they put the branch on and stitch it together and they bring the dead branch back to life as it becomes connected to the vine once more. You know, the vine itself, it bleeds. The vine itself is wounded. And the dead branch, which did nothing, which could do nothing, starts to receive life that was never its own. Verse 13 in our passage says this: greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Jesus here talking about himself. Within hours, he would lay down his life for his friends. The true vine would be wounded, would be cut open. And that is how dead branches like us get joined back in. It's not about the branch, it's what it's joined to. So look at what you're joined to. Not your effort, not your grip, not your goodness, but Jesus. It's why when Jesus says, abide in me, it's not a demand. Because he laid down his life to get you onto the vine. And he's not going to be careless with you now. Why does Jesus say all this? Well, he tells in verse 11. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Not a passage to make us anxious, not a passage to get more work out of us, but for Jesus to put his own joy in us and to fill us up with it. We're going to sing in a moment if the musicians want to come up. A song, What a Friend I Have in Jesus. It's a song which points us to Christ, to the true vine, who has welcomed us in and where we can find joy. So let's stand. Let's sing together. Question that this all leads us to, if it's not about the branch, which is kind of dead on its own, but what it's joined to, what does it mean to stay joined to Jesus? Well, in our passage in verse 9, it tells us, as the Father has loved me, Jesus says, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. It's like you can follow the love down. The Father, God the Father, loves his Son. And the Son loves us. The same love, the same sap, if you like, coursing through all the way down to the last branch. It matters what we're joined to. And what we're joined to, in essence, is Jesus' love. But how on earth do you say joined to someone who isn't here? If I tell you to be joined to someone, you probably hold their hands or grab them or walk alongside them. But what does that mean for Jesus? Well, two answers that Jesus gives us himself. Either side of our passage, so in chapter 14, verse 18, Jesus says this, I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. And nine verses after our passage, a little bit later, Jesus says, the Helper, the Spirit, whom I will send you from the Father. Being joined to Jesus is not a feeling, and it isn't imaginary. It is God himself in you by his Spirit. And secondly, it's not passive either. So verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Or verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. So when someone asks you, perhaps at the picnic this afternoon, you know what, fine, I'm joined to Jesus, but what do I actually do tomorrow morning? The answer isn't nothing. It's embedding his word in you. It's your asking and speaking to God, turning to him in prayer. It's his commands kept. Love God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. That is what a joined branch does. It's not what makes the branch joined, but for those who know Jesus and are joined to him, that is what life looks like. And what is the fruit that bears? Verse 8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. Jesus isn't all that explicit about what the fruit is here. It feels a bit nebulous. What does he talk about? What are the grapes? And I think that's intentional, so we don't try and shrink it down. The fruit is everything that Jesus' life grows in you. The character that comes from keeping his commands. The sacrificial love for others. The prayers that get answered. And verse 16, the going out to others with the gospel, with the good news of Jesus. Fruit, it is the whole harvest of a life joined to Jesus. We do it so that God the Father is glorified. And verse 11, our joy will be full. They're not competing things. When we're joined to Jesus, when we live for him, God our Father is glorified, and we find that our lives are filled with joy. And at the heart, if you like, of what a joined branch grows is one thing. Verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. We often think, don't we, of love as a bit of a feeling, something that arrives and departs, that we can't control. I suddenly feel love for someone or something. That's not this kind of love. Jesus is talking about a love that mirrors his own love. Love for Jesus is, if you like, something you do. So when we talk here at Christ Church Central about being a church that belongs to one another, we are not talking about just being friendly. Friendly is pretty cheap. We're talking about love. Loving one another as Jesus has loved us. Which raises some hard questions. What does it look like to love somebody who has hurt you and might hurt you again? In a church this size, it will happen. What does it look like to love someone very different to you, who thinks differently, looks different, needs different things? Well, the answer is not to just try harder to feel warm and nice towards them. You do not have that love in you. Instead, it's to live in, to abide in Jesus' love for you and let that flow out. Because how much love is as I have loved you. Well, we already know, don't we? Verse 13, he laid down his life. That is the measure of Jesus' love for you. He laid down his life. The vine got cut open so the dead branch could be joined to it. That is Jesus' love for you, and that is the love that should come out from us to one another. If Christ's love is flowing into you in the shape of a cross, it will come out of you in the shape of a cross too. Costly, self-giving, aimed at someone else. What does that look like? Well, it'll play out in all sorts of ways. But here's one for those of you still at school. The older ones can join the dots to themselves. You probably all know there is probably that child, isn't there, in your school who is often either sat on their own or sat on their own at break or at lunch in the corner of the field that nobody wants to sit with. Sacrificial love might mean being the one who goes to them, who sits with them. Sacrificial love, doing that, might make it difficult with your own friends. It might mean people think you're a bit odd or a bit weird. But sacrificial love might mean going to sit with them. As we finish, who are you if you are joined to Christ? What does that make you now? Three things from our passage, each one a gift. Means you are a friend of Jesus. Verse 15, no longer do I call you servants, I have called you friends. Because all that Jesus has heard from his Father, he makes known to you. It's not a cozy friendship, it's a productive friendship. Jesus lets you in on what he is doing and why. You are a friend of Jesus. Second, he chose you. Jesus chose you. Verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you. That order matters. Before you bear any fruit, before you are any use at all to God, Jesus chose you and he joined you to himself. He calls you friend, he chose you, and he sends you. He sends you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide. And this isn't, by the way, the kind of yellow sticker fruit from Tesco. You know, when you see it there and it's like 12p and seems a really good deal. It looks lovely tonight, but tomorrow morning when you go and put it in your lunchbox, it's all squishy and slightly rotten. No, this is fruit that lasts. Jesus sends you to bear fruit that lasts. The life that flows in from Jesus should flow out from this church. So this week, if you are exhausted because it is the end of term, or it's been a year of doing, maybe you are trying to be the vine yourself. Perhaps stop trying to be the vine. I know that actually you just need to remain in Christ. That is where you will find joy and peace. If this year has been hard and you fear what next year or even the coming months will hold, perhaps start to see it this way. Perhaps the gardener has been at work with his knife, cutting back now, pruning now, so that maybe in ways that almost seem impossible to imagine, there will be more fruit later. If this has been a year of hurt, verse 12 isn't asking you to manufacture love from yourself for the person who has hurt you. It's asking you to stay joined to the one who loves you, so his love can flow out through you. And if you're one of the children, a branch, it doesn't make grapes by trying hard. It makes grapes and good things by staying joined to Jesus. So stay joined to Jesus, and he will grow good things in you. And finally, if you have just wandered in this morning and you are curious, you wouldn't call yourself a Christian at all, hear what Jesus is not saying. Jesus isn't saying, come, work for me, Show me what you're worth. Show me what you can do. But he is saying, come and be joined to me. Let me wash you clean, all the guilt and shame you carry, and be grafted on and belong. I was wounded for you. So this coming year, everything good God grows among us. The love, the belonging, the going outwards to the city. It grows by the way a grape does. Not by straining, but by staying. By staying connected to the vine. His joy in us and our joy full. Let me pray for us. Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus. We thank you that he is the vine. Help us to find joy and fruitfulness and peace in him. Help us stay connected to him all our lives. Amen. And I'm going to hand back to Riley, who's there.